Today's interaction between Jesus and particularly Peter displays a tenderness and transparency that I want to develop for a few minutes now. Think of this passage. We've just heard this week all of John chapter 6, and as Jesus now comes to the conclusion of his teaching, there are many of his disciples. They weren't just kind of a crowd attracted to him. These were people that had come to follow Jesus, and we're told that many of his disciples defected from him. And then he asks this very simple, but I think moving question. Do you also wish to go away? Do you also wish to go away? And as I reflected on this question, it struck me how full of meaning it truly is. And I want to take a little bit of time to think about these words. For here we see Jesus respecting human free will. He will not force anyone. He will not demand anyone to stay with him. This is because Jesus Christ understands what it is to have human dignity. To have human dignity means that the Lord will honor our wishes. But at the same time, he will not water down what he has to say in order to persuade people to stay with him. There is never manipulation. There is never coercion in the Lord's missionary method. And this is because, as St. John says in the first chapter of his gospel, Jesus is full of grace and he is full of truth. Because he is full of grace, he is a respecter of human freedom. Because he is full of truth, he will say things that unsettle people so that they will conclude, this teaching is too difficult. Who can accept it? I came across this saying of St. John Paul II soon after I became a Catholic, and I have found it so helpful. He said that the Roman Catholic Church can only propose, she can never impose. The church can only propose, she can never impose. And this is exactly what we see Jesus doing here. He proposes to his listeners the truth about the Eucharist, but at no time does he impose this teaching on his listeners, demanding that they accept it. This is a very important lesson for us to consider. In our own lives, we need to be able to do an examination of conscience whereby we ask the question, in what way do I find the Lord's teachings difficult? Because you see, Jesus, through his word, through the living voice of the church, is always inviting us to deeper conversion. And if we don't move towards deeper conversion, then conversely, we will fall away from Christ, distancing ourselves from the Lord as we choose to reject what he says. And I want to give a particular application to this idea now for those of you who have teenage or adult children. As they grew up, you sought to catechize them in the faith. And there might be times you think, if I had only done a better job. But we have to appreciate something. When your children reach their later teenage years and young adulthood, they may very well conclude that the teaching of Jesus, the teaching of the church, is too difficult. I cannot accept it. If this is your experience, hear in the tone of Jesus a certain sadness, a certain longing when he asks the question, do you also wish to go away? My dear brothers and sisters, when it comes right down to it, we cannot coerce anyone, especially adult children, into following Jesus Christ. We can, of course, continue to pray for them, to ask the Lord to open their hearts and their minds to his grace-filled and truth-filled teaching. But here's the point. The only person that you, the only person that I have any real influence over is myself. And so the question for us who are here this morning is, how can we be open to a deepening conversion day by day? And Peter's response to Jesus is very instructive in helping to answer this question. Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. So here Peter begins by stating a fact. Jesus has the words of eternal life. He knows that Jesus' words are of such importance that they will teach us how to live in this world with an eternal perspective, with the perspective of heaven. And it's for this reason that John begins his gospel by saying, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Now think back to Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis 1, we read that God is personal and that God speaks a creative word that brings the whole of the universe into being. And now over in John's gospel, this same word from Genesis chapter 1 is now the Word becoming flesh, taking on the personality and the reality of a human being. And why is that? Well, it's not for creation, but it is for recreation, so that we would be recreated in such a way that as we gain an eternal perspective on our lives, we know why we are here and what our life is for. This fact, that Jesus' words are words of eternal life, is joined with a statement now about the nature of conversion. Peter says, "We have come to believe and know." And these are two very important verbs. Think of all of those people who heard Jesus. At one level, they knew what he said, but they didn't know what he said because they rejected his word. But here, St. Peter is saying, "We have come to believe and know." That we've come to believe that you do have the words of eternal life, and this word to know has about it the deepest appreciation and understanding of an intimacy of relationship. That Jesus, we have come to believe, we have come to know that you are the Son of God. Now, beloved, understand this, please. The whole of your Christian life, until the day you die, is to be spent living out this verse. As we do this, we will discover more fully the purposeful, the awe-filled life that is eternal life. You are never done. I am never done in this process of conversion. And let me conclude with these beautiful words from St. John Paul II. Hear their tenderness. Make a particular effort to seek Jesus and attain a deep personal faith which influences and directs your whole life. But above all, may your commitments and plans consist in loving Jesus with a sincere, genuine, personal love. He should be your friend and your support along the way of life. For as St. John Paul II concludes, echoing our first pope, he alone has the words of eternal life. On this day, when we honor the Blessed Mother, may we ask for her intercession, for a continual conversion, a deepening of love in our own lives and in the lives of those who are closest to us, especially our adult children.